the changing isn't free. You've read it in the tea leaves and the cracks are on TV. Beware the Savage Joe, 1984. They'll spit your pretty cranium and fill it full of air and tell you that you're 80, but rather you won't care.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, August 5th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks, so please do what you can to help out. Remember, free speech cannot exist without being funded by we, the people. And there are many ways you can do that. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You could call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN, mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And we do have a full panel here. I'm glad to announce once again for our Friday roundtable, folks. I have joining me, well, per usual, I have Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Hello, RBN. Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed, Stephen. And we have a returning co-host, folks, to my Beyond the Official Narrative broadcast. We have hailing from Inverness, Scotland, none other than Graham Sutherland. Welcome back to RBN, Graham.
Hi, it's great to be back, Richard. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this show.
Absolutely, as am I. So good to be back in touch, my brother. And we've been doing radio a long time, going on, what, this is, this, what, say, 2016 until now. So 22, that makes 6 years. So, yeah, 6 years together, off and on, doing radio. And, yeah, it's been a great ride. And, yeah, we started right about the same time on that first station, Truth Cat Radio.
That's right, yeah.
And we have a Canadian with us today, Graham, actually, a gentleman who's a frequent caller to my show. And Stephen and I have each interviewed him. He has a book and has a good solid science background. But we have James in Vancouver here as well, Graham, today. Hello, James. Welcome.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having me on, Richard.
Yeah, good to have you here. I mean, this is a really interesting configuration of gentlemen I have today. Very nice indeed. And a lot of catching up to do. I mean, Graham, it's been a long time. You know, I mean, with you and I even keeping in touch, and so much in the world, as we were just saying, has been accelerating. You know, so many ways that these elites are trying to take more power, and it seems kill off a good percentage of the population. I don't know. Let me give you the floor first, sir. You know, where we're at with everything in the world. It's been a while since you've been on the air here.
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting. I've actually been following this statistics for, they're calling it, well, in different countries they've got different names. They're calling it, in this country, they call it unspecified death syndrome. And I was listening to a podcast this morning, and the amount of sudden deaths that they're saying is unspecified has went up, more or less in every country around the world, and they're struggling to put a label to it. So, yeah, I was listening to a Canadian guy this morning, actually, interestingly enough, and they were saying it's went up. Deaths have went up 39%. Unspecified deaths, 39% higher than average just this year. So we've got the same thing going on here. And, you know, even mainstream media is starting to sit up and say, wait a minute, maybe we should be joining some dots here. Because there's obviously not only an increased amount of deaths, but the age group of the deaths is alarming. You know, young, healthy, fit, even athletic people. So, yeah, it's got so big now, the mainstream media is not trying to hide it. They're rather embarrassed actually admitting that, you know, there's something going on. But there's very, very few of them are actually correlating the vaccine with the increased death spikes.
And let's hear from James. James, I don't know, would you like to add to that, or I don't know, do you have anything to compare with Graham? He, like I said, he's over in Inverness, Scotland.
Right, well, we're living in a dark age since March 16th, 2020. We've entered into a period of darkness, and that's when the whole thing started. And I'm hearing stories too from people I know about deaths that shouldn't be happening. And we had the Mississauga massacre a few weeks ago, where we had three doctors die in 3 days, and then two more died a few days later. This is three doctors in 3 days at the same place under pretty much the same circumstances is less than a 1 in a million chance when you add up, when you multiply out the probabilities. So, you know, it's, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Another alarming thing is the amount of pilots that have failed medicals, young, healthy guys, and they can no longer fly because they've failed medicals, you know, quite miserably. And on top of that, there's been several pilots have actually either passed out or died at the controls, causing all sorts of problems, obviously.
Yep. And to me, that's being done deliberately. They want to destroy our infrastructure. In a couple of years, there'll be no more going to Hawaii for a vacation. This is what I'm afraid of. So,
yeah. And you used to be a pilot, James, you said?
You're always a pilot. What it is the medical. Yeah. The medical needs to be renewed. So I'm a commercial pilot, multi-engine. Up to 12,500 pounds, yes.
Oh, yeah, I know. I guess I meant just for an occupation at one point. But, yes, no.
Well,
of course,
no, not as no. Well, actually, I was for a while. But, no, I left that. Yeah.
Okay. Solid. Yeah. But, of course, yeah, you're still a pilot. Stephen, sir, I don't know. What did you want to add? And then, of course, for each of our fellow co-hosts.
Well, the reporting of this sudden adult death syndrome is what they called it. I think you could sum up the media's reporting of this phenomenon up to now as they blame it on ABV, anything but vaccination. That's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. And at some point, the dam's going to burst. And I think it's doing that right now, that they're going to have to stand up and take notice. And People are going to be very angry who have been mandated and coerced into taking these, well, I don't know what, these jabs, you know, just acquiescing blindly. That's the jab, and don't do it. Okay, that's kind of what that's the most important thing that anybody out there can do right now, I think, is not take one of these. Is this going to hurt you, and it may kill you? And I've heard about a lot of other people personally that or healthy. One young woman was in her 30s. Now, she had a heart condition, but she was encouraged to take this because, you know, she's vulnerable, right? Well, the vulnerable are being taken out first, and then the old. And it does seem to be, like James, you described it as a military operation going on since March 16th, 2020. It's terrifying. It shows the complete lack of any advocacy in the actual legacy media out there for truth in the people. We can't depend on anyone but ourselves anymore to suss out what's real and what isn't. That's a terrifying proposition, you know.
And on that note, we have this this war agenda, which keeps adding further dimensions. Hey, Graham, since it's been a while, again, since you've been on the station, how about your geopolitical analysis? I mean, we have so many saber-rattling events adding into the fold, you know, and I mean, of course, obviously the West, you know, the U.S. and a few nations of Europe's military couldn't possibly take on Russia, China, and Iran all at once. But, you know, what do you think this is all about? And I don't know, how would you assess all of this?
I think it's like, in a sense, it's like two parallel things happening, you know, at the same time. And you wonder which one's the distraction and which one's the big issue sometimes. The situation in the Ukraine, I mean, NATO have been pushing for a war for a long time. You know, they broke the promise they made in 92 to not move an inch eastward. I think, I can't remember if it was Reagan it said that, or if it was Bush Senior, but in fact, it was repeated a few times. And of course, they broke that promise, and you know, absorbed Poland and Latvia and, you know, all these Romania and all these other places and moved right up to Russia's front door. I think NATO as a pack of angry dogs barking at the door of Russia. And I mean, Russia had to respond. 14,000 people have died since 2014. 14,000 of them. Being shelled by Ukrainian troops. So, and they weren't even all Russian, that's the thing. There were a lot of them were ethnic Russian, but there's a lot of Ukrainians died as well. And obviously, I mean, anyone would respond, and Putin responded by, you know, invading Ukraine. Now, anybody that watches current affairs and has done for some time will know that Ukraine is just an absolute mess of mafia gangs, mafia groups, some of them competing, interestingly enough. You know, there's not just one. They speak about the Azov Battalion. There's a lot more going on than just that. There's other mafia groups that are more extreme than the Azov Battalion. And, of course, there's mafia groups as well. And it's rumoured that there's a massive child trafficking hub in the Ukraine. Now, I've heard that many times from some reliable sources, that's where the globalists were procuring children. And it's quite interesting. If you look at Jeffrey Epstein's movements, he was in the Ukraine a number of times. And it's obvious that there's something going on in Ukraine. As I say, it's a money laundering center as well. It's an absolute mess of corruption. And that was the reason why they were more or less laughed at when they tried to apply for NATO membership, because the country is just such a mess. And it still is. It's just that they've got an actor for a president, and he's kind of whitewashed. And our media has whitewashed everything. And I'm on TikTok, and I'm in different groups on TikTok, and I get a lot of information from people there, Ukrainian people and Russian people in the Ukraine. And it's interesting that, you know, it's a completely different story the people are telling from what our media. I mean, I've never seen the media getting so out of kilter. And so, you know, extreme with their propaganda. It's just like, it's just absolute nonsense, you know, what they're trying to put across. And the other question, the globalists, they're certainly making their move. President Mitterrand of France, Trudeau of Canada, Angela Merkel of Germany, and Boris Johnson. Okay, he got sort of kicked out, but And the Australian Prime Minister, I can't remember his name, but they're all very much trying to introduce this new world order and cashless society and everything. So they're all members of the Molech cult. They're all cult members. This is a spiritual battle, and these people are satanic. That's the bottom line.
And James, do you want to take it from there?
Well, I think, yes, this is a valid point. In a situation like the Ukraine, what you have going is a counter trade. You have the oil business, then you have the weapons business, and then you have the slave business. So you take your C-130, load it up with weapons, fly it to the Ukraine or wherever, dump the weapons off, and then you can pick up tons of human beings and bring them back.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And as far as the depopulation agenda in particular, James, you've had a lot to say on that. Would you care to elaborate?
Say again?
The depopulation agenda. The shots. How they contribute to it in general, and or how much it's more about just the chain of getting people used to taking without question whatever they put in us, and the DNA altering, the sterilization.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, what the shots are doing is just taking nitro out of the DNA, and eventually the DNA will shut down, and the agenda is to kill us. The agenda is to kill as many people as possible. And they don't care about it. They'll kill anybody.
That's right.
You know?
Well, James, can I ask, what do you think about the Taiwan situation, since you're more familiar with that area than any of us?
I mentioned on the other night on another show that the thing about Taiwan is it has had a big influence by Japan from 1895 to 1945. The Japanese were there in Taiwan, and they started the infrastructure and the power, light, that kind of thing, and they set up a constitution for the people so the people could own their own land and keep it in the family for generations, for perpetuity. And the regime in mainland China will not let people own the land in perpetuity, you see. So this is one thing. This is a very big difference between life in the mainland and life in Taiwan. And, of course, both sides know this. And the regime in Beijing in China would love to get rid of that Japanese influence. And so that's one of the reasons why they want Taiwan back, is they don't want this heritage of Japanese to exist in what they consider Chinese territory. That's one aspect of this a lot of people don't know.
Well, I certainly didn't know that. Graham, do you have something to add there?
Well, Japan, I knew it was part of the Japanese Empire up until the Second World War, along with parts of China and, you know, Korea and whatnot. I knew it was, I knew that much. And obviously, it would, the Japanese culture would, you know, have a major influence on the Taiwanese. I still think they're quite, you know, I think a lot of Japanese people go to Taiwan for their holidays.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's exactly right. And vice versa. Taiwan to Japan.
Yes. Yes. They see themselves as kind of brothers.
Exactly. I have personal relationships where these people were contracted, for example, to build runways for the Japanese Air Force in World War II, okay? And they got rich doing that. That was one thing, and there were other other families that were Taiwanese, of course, that helped the Japanese build Taiwan into what it is today, you see.
So. I remember when I was a kid and a teenager, lot of products, a lot of toys and stuff would be made in Taiwan or made in Hong Kong.
Right. That's right.
You know, just random stuff.
Yeah. That started in 1960, in the early 60s, toys made in Hong Kong. That was the thing they started with, toys, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, of course, it moved forward on higher technologies, and now, of course, you have the Taiwan being a main chip supplier, probably to the whole world.
That's right. Semiconductors.
Right. Exactly. And so this is how it evolved. And there's another interesting issue: is that the fact is Japan has put a lot of technology into Taiwan, of course, but also into the mainland. So China, I believe, has a limit on the kind of bullying they can do. If they bully Japan too much, it's to their detriment, I think, in the future, because I believe there will be a lot of Japanese technology in this road that they want to build into Europe. They call it the Wide Belt Road or some such thing like that. You see, so there's a limit to what I think China can do to be practical. So.
Yeah.
And as far as the comment Graham made earlier, it's hard to tell which agendas are more distraction or less important than others, and which we need to focus on the most. It seems hard to debate that this agenda with these shots, these mRNA shots, is a severe issue. The whole idea of that and other things waved in our face, pandemics on a global level, you know, these attempts to take away sovereignty, and now with climate change, the same thing. They want a climate treaty right after a pandemic treaty. It was already in the wording of pandemic treaty that pandemic could mean any category. It didn't have to be, some sort of contagion or spread of something in the medical biological hazard, right, James?
Well, I think, yeah, you can. I look at it as a shell game, you know. They put the pea under one of the covers and then try to guess where the pea is, you see. And so it's a sleight of hand, and it's, deception, okay? And they're running a game of deception on one hand, but the benchmark is the shots, because the shots will kill, you see. So, they can play all kinds of tricks. But the bottom line is they're trying to kill us. Bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Graham?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've been looking into this stuff for the best part of 40 years. I knew it was coming down the, you know, down the pike. I'm just surprised at how quickly everything's... it came together. I mean, I really think World War III, I think there's a good chance it'll actually kick off this year. I mean, I really don't want it to. It's the last thing I want. But I really can see it happening. This morning, the Chinese have got their own version of Twitter, and it's called Meebo, M-E-B-O, not to be confused with Bebo. Anyway, the captain's industry and the government, everybody uses it. And the government tweeted out to the people to prepare for war. And within 6 hours, there was 800,000 likes on it. That was just today.
Well, there's your army.
Yep.
There's your army right there.
And you were mentioning, Graham, did you say that Iran and China were doing military exercises together?
Yes, today. They were doing military exercises today for the first time, naval exercises.
And tensions between Iran and Azerbaijan have ramped up a lot the last few days, and Kosovo and Serbia. It's almost, I would say that if there is a future history of the Third World War, if it ever is called that, we're in the first few months of it already.
Of course, yes. The masses, the economic strains will keep the masses distracted on survival from really trying to stop any of these other agendas, unfortunately, is the way I see it. And the middle class is getting completely decimated ever since this COVID relief effort sabotaged the economic system. The greatest transfer of wealth in history, to the already wealthiest. But we have only a few minutes before the bottom of the hour break. I don't know, gentlemen, Stephen, where would you like to take it?
Well, the reason they want to kill us is the economic collapse. Their system is going to go pop, and they know this, and they want to get rid of the excess burden beforehand. I've heard people say that all of the funds for Medicare and all that are going to become insolvent, so they can't pump it up anymore. It's like putting out fire with gasoline. This balloon eventually will pop. So I don't know what they can and can't do with these black box mathematical AI things, but they're not going to solve the problems of the people. It's just that in itself is a distraction. We have to be ready to take care of ourselves, to take back responsibility for our own lives and ignore these people, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to do when they're shooting at you and flying drones around at you and censoring you and docking your bank accounts. It's hard to do to ignore them. So I don't know what the answer is. I heard people had been surveyed whether they would be in favor of taking up arms against the quote-unquote government. But it's not. That number keeps going up and up. You sent an interesting article earlier about the way the statistics have been manipulated and obfuscate the real economy with the job numbers. That article was very, very telling. Maybe we could talk about that when we come back. But yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking.
Hmm. Yes, and I'm also curious after the bottom of the hour break to see how else we could utilize the overseas and over border contributors today, Stephen. I mean, I don't know. I see we have someone from Scotland, someone from Vancouver, and especially on the topic of this medical tyranny, the shots, and the
I'd like to ask both of them what the conditions are to travel out of their country now. Do we still have to get jabbed to cross borders? Because they were doing that, and I don't do that. I mean, I'm stuck in one place here pretty much anyway. But people who travel, that's just coercive manslaughter, I guess is the right word. I don't know if it's murder or not. I don't know. Maybe it's murder. It's just they're wanting to kill anybody they can. If you wanted to travel to the U.S., James, or Ram, if you wanted to go to Europe or the U.S., would you have to get jabbed? That's the question.
Hold on. I don't know if we have enough time to answer before the break hits us here. But yeah, definitely. If any listeners, a few minutes into the second half, have a question for Graham, regarding Scotland on these topics, or James over in Vancouver. I mean, feel welcome to call in with your questions, since they're sort of featured on the roundtable here today. Absolutely. But yeah, let's get to those topics for sure, Stephen. It sounds great after this break. So stick around, folks. Check out these messages from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with our roundtable panel, Stephen Douglas Whitener, Graham Sutherland, and James in Vancouver. And, well, before we take any calls, Stephen, well, you had some good note comparison points to direct at Graham and James. Regarding traveling and just the pressure with these shots, I also wanted to point out just how much, well, Graham, I'm sure you noticed how much the fuel and energy agenda with climate change propaganda is attacking so much of the farming communities in Northern Europe there. And yeah, that's certainly part of the agenda. They don't want you to be able to grow food outside their system, not just not own land, not just for others, but even for your own family. For that matter. So I don't, Graham and then James, do you want to comment on some of these points Stephen and I mentioned?
As regards the control of the food supply?
Well, sure, certainly that. And yeah, the also just traveling, what you see going on in the future with the shots, future pandemic restrictions and all of that as well, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, I seen a I've seen an alarming thing, actually, in the newspaper. It was a mainstream newspaper as well. They were saying that, you know, they were showing queues on the motorway to get to the airports to try and leave the UK. I don't know if it's to do with the, you know, actually having an, you know, a jab or a valid jab passport. I don't know if it's got to do with that or not. But there's certainly absolute chaos at the airports, and hundreds of people waiting for days sometimes to get a flight. But by the same token, people coming into this country, illegals, you know, coming over the channel in little rubber boats, 50 at a time and stuff like that, they're welcome with open arms. You know, they get in no problem, but the Brits can't get out. Well, it was quite ironic.
And Stephen, is there something more specific, though, that you had you were wondering regarding what?
No, that's fine. I just wondered how the situation was for travel out of the countries.
Mm-hmm. And James, did you want to add something there?
Yeah, I checked, I think yesterday, minimum of 2 shots to get on an airplane here. And I would strongly agree with Graham that they're bringing people in from overseas that have no business being there because they're trying to destroy the civilization.
Cut out there for a second.
The
no business. Ah.
No, no.
Yes,
well,
you're absolutely
bringing in a bunch of half-wit criminals, ne'er-do-wells, people that are just going to destroy society, that is to destroy the values that have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, going back to like the Magna Carta. You're bringing a bunch of people in there that it's going to be a flesh pot. They're going to turn it into a flesh pot.
Mm-hmm. And we have some callers.
And, then
jump.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones. Oh. Let's see. We have Eric in Oregon. Hello, Eric. Hey, thanks for calling in. Hey, what's on your mind?
Hi, Richard. Hi, gentlemen. I also go by Ashley Biden's diary since Paul from California stole the Hunter Biden's laptop. Anyway, I just wanted to say I've been traveling. I have friends who just flew over from Istanbul to Cape Town, and they are unjabbed, and they've been playing the system. We went to South Africa last fall for a little over a month, and we just had to get a negative antigen test, and we were good to go. But yeah, my wife and I are not jabbed, and my youngest son, who's a pilot, he's unjabbed, and he's flying for the Department of Defense right now. But it's a hopscotch game. You really have to play your cards out to make things happen. Unfortunately, my oldest son, he got the jab. He succumbed to the propaganda up in Seattle. It's hot and heavy up there. But, yeah, I just wanted to call in and say I enjoy your program. I listen regularly, but I've got a few acres out here in Oregon, and I'm usually on the tractor or mowing or, you know, growing food. But we like to travel, and it's put a hamper on a lot of things for us. We had a trip planned to Japan, and that was just before COVID, and we had just before that did Vietnam and Germany, and my wife's got family over in Germany, so we go over there a lot to visit family. But with the COVID thing, it's made it more interesting. But there are places you can go, like Hungary was open, Slovenia, Turkey, like I said, South Africa, you can get into there and go on safari and stuff. But yeah, it's getting tighter and more restrictive, and then you've got those megalomaniacs like Klaus Schwab and stuff trying to ruin all our lives so they can have everything and we have to live in little cardboard boxes.
Gentlemen, the panel, did you have any comments?
Well, thanks so much for listening,
Eric.
Now. Yeah, appreciate that.
Oh, James?
Yeah, big fan of you guys. I'm sorry I don't call in, but I'm usually pretty busy. If my wife's around, she's going to start talking to me while I'm on the phone. So I put the earbuds on, and I bring my iPhone out with me on the tractor, and I'm just listening to you guys, and I'm going, you know, I feel like you're my friends, like I could talk to you guys. And, you know, I just, you know, I live out in the country. I don't have any interaction. Sometimes I go into town for groceries, but that's about it. It's like, but RBN's like my extended family. And you guys don't know I exist, but I do. Oh, and I have a brother in California that is like-minded too. And we I'm like, you got to contact Paul in California, Dean. So anyway,
That's great to hear.
Care.
I mean, that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Graham, you wanted
absolutely.
To say something. Graham, you wanted to say something.
No, I'm just thinking that's it's exactly the same as me. I'm on shores of Loch Ness, not near any city, and yeah, I often feel isolated. You know, not just physically, but you know, emotionally and psychologically, and everything, separated from the rest of the world. I often feel that.
Well, if it's any consolation, you've got brothers around the world, and we have like minds, and we don't like the control freaks, and we don't like the mandatory injections of toxins into our bodies. Scotland and Ireland are one of the places we're talking about going this fall, because we could get into the country that way. But you know, we have to get the negative antigen test. That's the major thing.
Yeah, the narrative, the mainstream narrative, is starting to collapse, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I, it's funny. There are people. I've got doctors on my side of the family that have completely bought the narrative. You know, that they're sold, and brother-in-law, he's a doctor, and he's got all the shots and all the boosters, and then he just got COVID, and then he took the Paxlovid stuff, and then he got worse. It's like, well, I could tell him. You know, and I'm just the country bumpkin idiot who doesn't know anything, and he's a doctor. You know, so it's like, you know, I love him. He's my brother-in-law, but you know, there's just no getting through to certain people. They just don't want to look at the truth.
Yes,
they want
to. I'm sorry, Eric. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had a caller last Saturday to the Thought Crime Live show who was a doctor and said he did not take them, and he knew of only two other physicians, I think he said, that did not, and that all the rest who were supposed to be so smart and you know, our providers now, they succumbed to their programming or propaganda or coercion or whatever, and many of them are going to regret it. Look, those five that dropped dead in that hospital in Canada, they're not around to regret it anymore, but it's going to become more and more obvious. I think you're right that the mainstream narrative is just collapsing. And it's good to know that we have go ahead, sir.
James.
No, I was going to say we have two doctors in our church, husband and wife. And she got the shot. He didn't. But I think they eventually did get it because they weren't allowed to operate unless you got the shot. They have to. They all have to fit into the box that they've been told to fit into, or they can't operate. But he definitely didn't like. He did enough research to know about the ivermectin and the quercetin and the vitamin C, D, Z, zinc. Cocktail, and you know, just keep yourself healthy. So
yeah.
Anyway, you guys carry on. I don't want to waste any more time of your precious show, but just know that Eric of Oregon, also known as Ashley Biden's laptop, listens in quite a bit. Kind of peeved at Paul for stealing Hunter Biden's laptop, though. That was a good one.
But you're Ashley Biden's diary, right? Okay. I'll remember if I hear that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Thanks. Very kind words. Much appreciated, Eric. Let's go to Charlie in Florida. Hello, Charlie. Hey, welcome to the show. Always good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Richard. Hi. You've got a good roundtable there today. A lot of knowledge packed in that bunch.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of calling in a little bit about if you guys heard about what's going on with this stuff about the Ukraine bombed a prison over there, where Russian Azov soldiers were being held by Russia and killed like 75 people. And maybe Stephen knows a little bit more about this because I know he keeps up on the international scene pretty well. and that they also ordered evacuations of civilian populations in some of the towns down there. And this seems to be a problem, because where are these people going to go? What are they going to do? They're going to put them up in tents or what? They're not in danger. You know, what are they going to do to them? Are they going to hold them hostage? Are they going to kill them? Are they to try to tamp down the narrative that these Nazi soldiers were, you know, killing and raping and shrink wrapping people to trees? What are they, you know, I'd like to hear what your opinion on that is, Stephen.
Of course, they're pseudo. These neo-Nazis these days are pseudo-Nazis, and, you know, they're actually working for kosher banking cartels, so they're hardly a continuation of the Third Reich.
They're Jewish Stephen. Nazis, yeah.
I'd say they're just criminal gangs who have adopted the camouflage of the National Socialist Workers' Party to commit crimes and have no association with it whatsoever. That disgusts me that they even do that. And I had not heard much more about these people being evacuated. Were they being evacuated from places in Ukraine or in Russia?
No, yeah. In Ukraine, where Russia's been moving into certain areas. There's a nuclear power plant up there that Ukraine has also been supposedly shelling, and Russia's been moving into that area to take it over.
Well, here, Charlie,
and these towns are in that area.
Let's hear from Graham, you know, a Scottish perspective on geopolitics regarding that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've certainly got my finger on this pulse. I watch reports every day and listen to stories and, see footage from Ukrainians in the Donbass and Luhansk and so on. So, yeah, I've really taken an interest. As regards that Azov battalion prisoners, yeah, that's right. A missile hit the prison and killed a lot of them. And the Russians are blaming the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians are blaming the Russians, as you would expect. However, the Russians invited the UN and anyone else that wanted to come in and, you know, inspect the place, because there was also eight Russian guards, prison guards. There was also eight of them injured, four of them seriously injured. So, you know, it doesn't look like it was the Russians. You know, they're not going to blow up their own people, their own prison guards. So it looks like it was a stray missile or a stray projectile of some kind that, you know, that was fired by the Ukrainians. But listen, this is not the first time. The Amnesty International just today published a report saying that the Ukrainians are guilty of war crimes because they are regularly taking up firing positions within schools, hospitals, civic buildings, and residential flats. That's what they're doing. That's their battle plan. And of course, the Russians are, this is an over-the-horizon battle, remember. They're using howitzers and so on that are, they're out of sight. And they're just basically returning fire. The Russians are returning fire. So wherever the fire's coming from is going to get annihilated by Russian artillery. That's exactly what's happening. And that's why there's so much flats being blown up and schools and hospitals and stuff getting blown up, because that's where the Ukrainians are setting up their firing positions. So, yeah, that's what's happening.
Excellent. Well, listen, Charlie, we have a couple other callers we'd like to try to get to.
I have something real quick for James, sure. If I could just let him clue him in on something. Hey, James, I don't know if you've listened to this guy. I know you've heard. I've heard you call into him before, but he's got a show on RBN. I think it's Talk with John, and he's been hollering and saying he wants you to come on there. He wants to debate you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's come on there twice now. I've heard him at least two or three,
really?
Maybe three times. He's come on and said, I really wish James from Vancouver would call in because I want to get it with him. So, you know, this little guy, he reminds me of a 14-year-old kid, you know. He's pretty immature. But Yeah, you might want to tune in and do that. Just kind of go in there, because I'd like to see you wipe the floor with him.
Well,
okay, James. Okay. That's all.
Thanks,
thank
Charlie.
You, guys.
Thank
good
you.
Show. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you, Charlie. Yeah, I guess that would be Talk with John. That's John Twitchell. If you wanted to confirm it, yeah. We have John in Tennessee next on the line. Hello, John. Hey, always good to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Happy Friday.
Well, I'd like to ask Graham a question, whether or not he's aware of what has gone on in Birmingham with the Commonwealth Games. I'd like to get his response to the opening ceremony, if he's aware of it. I think it was pretty amazing myself.
Well, it was a satanic ritual, basically. That's what it was. And it's not the first one we've seen either. They've got a 10-meter high Molech bull there with red fiery eyes and everything. I don't know how much more obvious it needs to be before people realize that we're dealing with a satanic cabal.
Well, Richard, are you aware of what happened, or is this news to you?
Yes, I did see information reported on it, being covered. So, and there's talk that they may leave the statue there after the games are over in the city, you know, like a stat. This
how,
huge...
How has it gone over, Graham, in Great Britain, in the UK? Are the people appalled? Are they accepting it? Or the, because it really, it wasn't
Graham's
a ceremony, it was a worship service.
Well, I mean, he just saw some of the same articles I was sharing around with, and he was sharing around. But, yeah, he's way out there, you know, near Loch Ness, in Inverness, not too close to a lot of people to get the opinions of. But I don't know, Graham, did you want to take a stab at how you guess?
Well, I remember, you know, previously, the Commonwealth Games are a big thing here. You know, everyone gets behind them. It's just like the Olympics here, the Commonwealth Games. It really is a big thing. And it's got more of a kind of parochial feel. You know, it's got more of a kind of homely feel to it. But this year, and the last time as well, was just getting more and more satanic. You know, obviously satanic. It's just really in your face. And the only people that seem to realize what's going on are Christian people. Everyone else thinks it's just cool animation.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I know that it's making the rounds. I found it a few days ago, and it just floored me. I could not believe. Yeah. I couldn't believe. I mean, we know it's going to happen. It was really appalling. All right, thank
Birmingham's
you all.
A lot.
Birmingham's okay. A funny city. Like, it's it's a huge city. I think it's the second biggest city in the UK, as far as I know. And it's full of gangs and, you know, there's a whole lot of Islam against, you know, Christian stuff going on, and black against white stuff going on. It's not the best place to live.
Okay, well, thank you, John. I always appreciate your calls. And let's see, we have Dave in New York. Hello, Dave. Hey, well, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello, Richard and folks. This whole traveling issue, I recall that people were talking about it being attacked by attacking the pilots with this COVID shot and the high incidence of problems with that. It does seem, some people have suggested they wanted to stop flights, but I think this bull ceremony is very important, because we've seen many different ceremonies. We saw the 2012 Olympics nurses skit come to life. They had one down in South America, I think, of a COVID-like ball that they had a street festival, and they had some kind of a play just before this whole COVID thing. So, you know, you've got all these different documents that are put out, and the most recent one is a monkeypox tabletop exercise. So I wonder, is there anything regarding travel that they have given us these hints about? The hints are very important. We need to read their documents.
Well, Dave, I would say
Graham.
One hint. I would say one hint may be that a Twitter bot was active the other day that said we need a 6-month lockdown, and it's obvious that these accounts that were pushing this were just bots. So yeah, that's on the agenda again. I don't know what they will use as an excuse, but that was kind of a premonition thing I thought of when I saw it. I thought, oh, they're going to push this again. The midterms are coming up. The mandates are coming back. The lockdowns are coming back. The mail-in ballots, all that crap, as they exercise this charade of legitimacy that they have again with the election and the midterm. So that seems to be a trend too. But and it's, well, I thank you for mentioning all those other productions too, because they do give us hints at the what's to come. Go ahead, sir.
Well, actually,
well, there's got to be a number of them that we're actually missing.
Dave, yeah. Dave, I wanted to mention on a side note. I mean, I'm starting to get the impression that you don't seem to care for free speech all that much at RBN. I mean, I don't know. I caught like some other broadcasts where I don't know some of the things even related to some
listen,
people I've had.
Listen, the Sons of Korah.
Like you don't want varying opinions.
Yeah, that's correct,
I mean,
Richard.
Like, to use a phrase like "shut it down."
Let me explain.
I don't know
to you.
Regarding multiple co-hosts of mine. You know, I mean, that just sounds kind of extreme. Well, please, you have a chance to
shut down what?
Well,
now,
I don't
now
know
listen.
Any dissenting opinion that some peer review.
No. The Sons of Korah were swallowed up by the earth because of blasphemy. There are things that you should not say if you don't know what you're talking about. Don't say it, and if people explain to you why you're wrong, you need to listen, okay?
Yeah.
And I've told you that before also, Richard, and I've told you when you said the right thing. You understand?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and everyone should...
It can't be a disinformation source, RBN.
Dave,
it's
right,
not
it's
good.
But we can't like come to some consensus and have some kind of a thought police for a station saying who, I mean, I was listening back to your call to John Stadmiller, the last interaction you two had just the other day. And I mean, yeah, you know, it's clear when you listen to that interaction that
John a clear question. He had no answer and he knew
right.
he was,
no,
he
I don't
want to
go there.
Base.
I don't want to go there right now. I'm just saying that the idea that everyone needs to be on board. I mean, all the hosts have their own opinions at the station, and
they can all have different opinions. I understand that.
Yeah. So I mean,
but
it's tough. We have to let everything be said. That's
if
all.
You're a disinformation source, Biden can shut you down, but he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, just I mean, and no one should interrupt each other like so much. We should let everyone be said and take turns in a civil way. I agree with all that as well, Dave. You know. Anyway, Graham, it was great to have you back. I look forward to doing more shows. Keep you. Back around here again at Republic Broadcasting.
Absolutely. It was great to be back. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. And James?
Made my day. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen.
And you too, James.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, guys. I know.
All right, folks. Thanks, please support RBN to continue keeping all this going, all this free speech. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio, and we will speak again soon. Happy Friday. Transcend the construct. Regards.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.